with episode 1001 of Hacker Public Radio, which is the monthly review show for last month, May 2001. It's just me today, and if you're not familiar with this show, we try to give a rundown on what's been happening in and around the community of Hacker Public Radio, what's been going on the mail lists and on the social networks, as well as any news that's been going on in the background that you might not be aware of. First thing we like to do is introduce new hosts, and we've had one host come forward this month, Big Rider Clock, and I apologise for butchering your handle, but you're very, very welcome to Hacker Public Radio. And in the first segment, we'll go through the shows that have been put on in the last month. After the community news show last month, we had Frank Bell with the second in his series on how to set up a WordPress blog. I'm finding these very interesting, as we're about to move to a WordPress backend here on Hacker Public Radio in the coming months. The following day was the HPR Audiobook Club. Clatu, Resno, and I think Pokey reviewed Dead Hunt, and it was an interesting show where the author actually gave some feedback in some of the show notes. I didn't read this book myself, as I am not a big fan of the genre, to be honest, but I did enjoy listening to the episode. The next book will be Space Casey, podiobooks.com/title/space-casey, and I've already listened to this book, so hopefully I'll be able to give some feedback for the next audiobook club. The following day was our syndicated Thursdays, first Thursday of the month, Sunday Morning Linux Review, episode 29. And following that was an interview I did with Chris Condor of the Broadband for Rural North, and I must say I was very excited to do this, as this is a fine example of the community in the true sense of the word coming together to do something that will benefit all the community, even though they might not understand it or whatever. This has actually the makings of a good movie, if not a documentary. And I'm glad to say two things. I'll be going to Og Camp, and at Og Camp there will be a presentation, hopefully by one of the team, technical presentation by one of the team on Broadband for Rural North, so hopefully we'll be hearing more from them. And I'm trying to figure out how I can get up to them from Liverpool on the Monday to actually plug into the network and perhaps upload some shows from there. As a side note, in the interview I suggested that it would be a good idea for people to be able to sponsor a meter of cable. Well, Chris took that idea back to the committee, and I'm thrilled to see that if you go to barn.org.uk, that's B4, the number 4, or N, .org.uk/sponsor-a-meter, and you can get your name written on a meter of cable for £5, or you can get the whole family's name for a mere £20. And this is, if you go right now, you'll get your name on one of the big fat backbone, and you'll have satisfaction in knowing that you're at least able to contribute to gigabit speeds if you're not actually able to get them yourself. And as I said before, anybody who donates to this project, just send me a link to the Flickr photograph that's on the Barn website, and I'll make sure that we send you some HPR swag for supporting this endeavour. The day after that, we had Ahushka with a review of the Indiana Linux Fest, and I think this is actually an area where HPR is carving out a fantastic niche for itself, being the backroom reporters for FES and giving people a excellent rundown of the fest and the feeling about it and what went on at the show. And thanks very much for enabling us who are not able to get to these shows to have a sense of what it's like and what the community feel is like. The following day we had episode 5 of Linux in the Shell, PMount Command, which I had not been aware of, and Dan claims that I don't listen to Tils, but that's not true. He claims he listed it there, but to be honest, I'd never heard about it before. Probably didn't have a whole lot of need for it, but as with a lot of things in Linux, sometimes things just turn up at the right time. And again, we had Anushka with Auka, sorry, murdering people's handles. I do apologise, it's become a tradition, as I said before. Freedom is Not Free, episode 5, Getting Involved, and I couldn't really agree more. This is also a fantastic episode, and I'm glad that he took the time to put that together. Then we had Unsyndicated Thursdays, a specially edited show by the Going Linux podcast, Larry Bushy, and Tom Schwadoir, which I butchered again. I do seriously miss Pokey for being able to pronounce these names. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here with us today. And they gave a rundown of what they use to produce their podcast. And it's all quite nicely laid out in the show notes with links to what they were talking about. The following day was Linux Fest Northwest, a short talk with Thomas Stover by Dan Whitman. And Dan was up at that festival and did a HPR booth for us, and more ideas and initiatives from David will be forthcoming later in the show. Again, he also did excellent coverage of the show, and I really had a sense of what the atmosphere was like at the event. And far from the interesting audio detracting from the episodes, they gave it a sense of somebody having a conversation with the participants. So I'd like to thank David for doing that for us and putting the time in to get these shows out. And as has already been discussed, I think last year on the mailing list, we have a priority given for people who go to events so that we can reserve a block of shows for them when and as they edit them, so that they're more timely around the time of the event. And that's why this whole week has been given over to interviews that David recorded from the show. The following day was an interview with Scott Newlin from the Mintcast, and gave an interesting insight into the Mintcast community. Larry Carfeliero was a Crunchbang guy, and he had the interview the following day. And then we had Dawn McKenna of McKenna Interpreting Services. Now, David sent an email to me, which I just, for one reason or another, has been very busy on the mailing lists. I only picked up on, and it was about whether the show was truncated or not. Now, I tend to download all the shows. Well, once I post the shows, I open them in VLC and make sure that I can listen to the front, middle, and end of the shows, so that for all three, so that they're posted. And I also download the MP3 and AUG version as well in my own feed, which I get during the day and the evening on the train home, which I then listen. That's actually when I listen to the shows. He claimed that when he downloaded it, it was only partially downloaded for him. So if anyone ever comes across partially downloaded shows, especially with this one, could they immediately get in contact with admin@hackerpublicradio.org or nip into the IRC channel and contact Pokey or Klaatu or 5150 or any of the guys there, so that we can get it sorted ASAP. This turned out to be quite an interesting show, as my wife is also interested in becoming a sign language interpreter. The following day was a syndicated Thursday, Juiced Penguin episode 79, Early Spring. And this one was, if you don't know what Juiced Penguin is, it's kind of like a Hacker Public Radio for Podsafe music. It was done by Terry F, this particular episode. But if you're interested in putting a music show together, strictly music, you can do that and release your shows over there on Juiced Penguin, which is an excellent resource. Again, like Hacker Public Radio, it's life's like a box of chocolates. You'll never know what you get. One week it might be all country and western, and the next week, next time it might be all metal. But as with anything else, it is interesting what people listen to, and through the joys of the fast forward button, you can always skip ahead. Episode 990 was the Portable Apps episode by JWP, where he ran down a lot of the portable applications that are available on Windows on the website portableapps.com. This is a fantastic resource, especially if you're working on servers or you're working on lockdown machines where you need some utilities like PuTTY or Secure Copy or WinMD5 SOM or WinDurstat, which is a utility for displaying wind files, graphical view of the what files are how big your files are on your hard disk, WinDiff, way to compare two files. Then you have, of course, the Firefox and the Office applications. So an excellent view at this resource that even though you might live on Linux from time to time, if you have to admin Windows servers or you have a Windows machine, these are useful utilities for virtually doing anything and usually doing it a lot better. I had reason to defragment a Windows disk with the view to turning it into a to shrinking it down to be a dual boot situation. And Ultra Defrag actually gets around a lot of the limitations that commercial defragmenters have on Windows. So be sure and consider these applications if you're on Windows. The following day was the new contribution, making a music sampler with MIDI and Pygame. And I listened to this one while I was on my vacation at a week camping up in Flieland in the north of the Netherlands. Very, very beautiful area. If you're ever over, it's a nice, unspoiled area. But I happened to, my back doesn't like very much sleeping in a tent, so I was in a bit of agony while I was listening to that, and yet I thoroughly enjoyed the show. The following day we had Linux in the Shell 007 with my attempt to be funny on the show notes. I don't know if anyone picked up on that, but anyway, again, Dan giving us some fantastic information here, and these again I'm going to be playing for our sort of Friday Linux sessions to explain the changemont command to a lot of people. This is, he has an ability to take a command and just nail it, getting rid of all confusion about the command, explaining it clearly and putting it to bed. And in the future, if anyone ever asks me a question about the changemont command, I will hand them the link to his website, video, the text description and the audio description. So no matter how you learn best, there's something there. Dan's covered it. So well done, Dan. I really am so thrilled that you're sharing this knowledge with us. The following day again, Frank Bell setting up a WordPress blog, tweaking the appearance. And Frank is surprising me with this WordPress series because he is obviously very experienced at that. And Frank has been promoted to be the main WordPress admin on the Hacker Public Radio website, which will be news for him. But there you go. That's how you get jobs here in Hacker Public Radio. You become an expert at it. Then we had the Northeast Linux Fest, John Mad Dog Hall, talking about free software. And this was an interview taken. John is a regular speaker at events. I haven't had the opportunity to catch any of his talks live, but I'm very glad that the guys recorded this and put it on the Syndicated Thursdays. Just remember that back in episode 767, Klaatu did an interview with Mad Dog on super dumb computer terminals, which you might want to catch as well. Links are in the show notes. Ah, yes, the following day, episode 995, Do the Four Freedoms Extend Beyond Software? And this one had me a little bit razzled, I must say, because when I heard the feedback on, when I was listening to Linux for the Rest of Us, somebody claimed that the Four Freedoms only cover programming and not the code. It is only the code that is covered in the Four Freedoms. And, you know, from the outset, that's ridiculous because of the whole Iceweasel Firefox thing, and in Debian, where they can't release the trademark names. So obviously right there, it goes beyond the code. Releasing an application goes beyond the code. The fact that CentOS has to strip off the Red Hat logos and the name, and they can't reuse that. Obviously, if nobody else was able to come out with logos or names for CentOS, then, you know, it's more than the application. However, I didn't need to do that because right on the free software definition, it says at the bottom of the page, it clearly states that the definition of free software has been extended to the definition of free cultural works applicable to any kind of work. So if you are worried that you're not contributing back to the Four Freedoms and that you're stealing software from this free software community, which again is impossible to do because it's there to be stolen as such, you are in fact doing so because the Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3 Unported License, which Hacker Public Radio is released under, is a copyleft license and has been approved by nobody less than Bradley Kuhn from the Free As In Freedom podcast, who, when we transferred over to that license, said that we could syndicate any of his shows because it was a free license. So take that, whoever it was that said that. The following day, we had JWP with a command line cheat sheet, which is released under a Creative Commons license. You should print this off and put it onto a t-shirt. And he runs through some of the common commands that you can use on the command line. And this actually encouraged me to get a silent PC running here in the house. And I had everything going, but for some reason I can't get the audio to be anything more than a quiet whisper in the background. It's a known reporter problem, but all the fixes that I've tried don't resolve it. So alas, Pindacast, after spending about a month of evenings trying to get this thing working, it's failing to do what I wanted to do, which was play podcasts and music in the living room. So alas, I'll wait for my Raspberry Pi to come and then we'll see how we go there. The following day we had Poorly Recorded Thoughts on Rural Computing by Lost in Bronx. And I think we should all focus our attention on considering, are we going to have a digital divide with people where people assume that you can get Netflix streaming or Love Film or you can download torrents, and yet there are people who are working on little more than dial-up connections. So I wonder, is it time to, like the electrification of the nation, that a fiber optic cable is laid to every house, home in the land. Is it time for that? And yes, would it be a good incentive for these troubled times where we might want to get people back to work, get them skills in IT? It's something to consider, which is why I was so interested in what the people in the Broadband for Rural North were doing with their cables. Now, obviously, their situation is different. It's a different place than the Arizona deserts. But interesting solutions and good internet connectivity is becoming very, very important for any nation. The following day we had Viva la Federation in Wybill and Windigo, explaining how they set up status.net, and it seemed like a very complicated thing to do. At the beginning of the episode I was thinking of doing it myself, but then was thinking I'm going to decide against that. Seems far, far too complex. I think I'll wait for version 1 or version 2 to come out. The next day, episode 999, was Simon Phipps on open source software. And Simon Phipps is now director, I don't know, or head honcho at the open source OSI Open Source Initiative. And I found the talk interesting. It was given at OGCamp, but as I was in the booth at OGCamp, I didn't get to hear any of the talks. And I found that his approach was quite Free Software Foundation-ish for freedoms, as opposed to what the OSI would be more about, the availability of the open code. But again, thank you to Robin for putting that show together for us, and I know there's a few more in the queue. And finally, the last episode was episode 1000, 5150's mammoth task of editing all the various different clips and greetings in various different formats and various different levels, putting them together into a cohesive and, I must say, touching show. And when I listen to it, I've listened to it a few times since then. And as Pokey has says, he feels I was a little bit touched and really feel part of a very worldwide community where we had people from at least, I think, 3 or 4 different continents call in, people from many different countries, people from obviously many different backgrounds calling in, and it really gave me an excellent sense of community. But again, don't forget that this is episode 1000, and as Lord Dragonbloth pointed out correctly, that there are 300 episodes of Twat Radio, Today with a Techie Radio, out there on twattech.org. And to be honest, we should be consider ourselves at episode 1,301 today, obviously. And with that, I'll bring you to an email message that I received from 5150, who, not satisfied with putting episode 1,000 together, he's putting, and I'll just read the announcement here. Hacker Public Radio is inviting the participants in the podcast and organizations that preceded HPR and led to its creation to join a recording panel discussion on HPR's origins and history. We are reaching out to TwatTech, BinRev Radio, Radio Freak America, PodFret, and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and contributors for the first 12 months of HPR. The discussion will be recorded via Linux Basics Mumble server, which is mumble.openspeak.cc, and the port is 64747. And it will be released as HPR episode 1024, Stank Dog's Idea. Episode 1024 should fall on the 5th of July, and we would like to shoot for recording the panel about 2 weeks beforehand. In case of a technical or other unforeseen problems on the primary recording date, a 2 week lead would give us time to regroup and make a second attempt. The date and time will be set up to make it convenient for the greatest number of people who are willing to participate to join us. Connections over Skype and SIP telephone via Asterisk will be possible, but it would be simplest if everybody would try to use the open source Mumble client. If you decide to join in, and we hope you do, please include the time zone where you will be in mid-June, especially if you are outside the continental United States. If there are days of the week or times that you would like to avoid scheduling the panel, i.e. I will be gone on June 19th to the 21st, I could only do it on a weekend, only after 3 p.m, only after 10 p.m. Editor's note, please include your time zone. He would like to know as well. And you can contact the organisers at ep1k@hackerpublicradio.org. Also, he has been trying to contact some of the original hosts from the TwatTech era. So if you're Adam, Coder365, Dark Shadow, D-Raven, Kurt Ryan, Lunar Sphere, Mr. E, Space Out, Thought Freaker, Killer Smurf, Dominic Ulando, Living Dead, J-Hood, Skyre, Kitchet, Pixie, Scheda, Will Janssen, Pyzone, Operator, Black Ratchet, Merc, or Dr. Zigman, could you please contact 5150? Or, if you know these people, can you please send them a message to let them know what we're trying to do and that we're trying to get back in touch? Okay, that was it from 5150. Now, some other things that have been going on in the background. There has been a question about swearing and whether you should put a safe for work or not safe for work message on the front of your podcast. And as always, Hacker Public Radio, just again to let you know that no editing has been done, and on the show it will be posted as is. Editing will be done on the format of the show, but no editing will be done on the content. We don't listen to the shows beforehand other than to make sure they're not spam. So if you want to include warnings or that sort of thing at the beginning of your show, feel free to do so. If you choose not to do so as well, people should be aware when listening to Hacker Public Radio that it is intended to be an open forum and it has an explicit tag on iTunes. So whether you choose to have episodes played without parental supervision or played elsewhere in the public is risky, so you should be sure to take appropriate action against that. For a while, the call-in line was down in the US, due largely to the fact that Mr. Gadgets would ring in once a month with a show, and because he took some time off to learn Python. And I hope that was not due to the conversation with the person in the pub. We lost the phone line, and K5 Tux, who graciously is running that service for us, got us a new number, and so the new number is on the website as well. There was a heated discussion on the mailing list, not heated in a bad way, heated in lots of people were contributing to it, about whether we should have a dedicated news day. No discussion was taken on that because I wanted to make sure that as many people as possible, including people who listen to the show, were involved in the conversation. And it basically goes down like this. We're now getting quite a lot of contributions from the community, so that the queue is quite full. We have about a month of shows left in the calendar. I had put a calendar up where we included shows for the coming times, the Syndicated Thursday show queue, and I expanded out that if Syndicated Thursdays came in, I added a weekend, and if that happened to be, there would be a Friday show because we have Deep Geek coming in on a Friday. And if it was the first show of the month, there would be a HPR episode. So it looked like our schedule was pretty full. In actual fact, our schedule is pretty, yeah, we've got 20 shows in the queue at the moment. However, I wouldn't be going around jumping around very much about that, because if we look at it, we see that Ahuka has contributed about half of the shows, and I have contributed three or four other shows along with Frank Bell. So again, it is falling on certain people contributing shows, and pretty much everybody else is sitting back not contributing shows. Now, people should be contributing shows. It's as simple as that, and the more people who do, the better. It looked like we had loads and loads of shows, because there are quite a few shows following the festival events that contributed to us having a schedule that was pushed out into the coming months. But in actual facts, that's not the case. But getting back to the point here about the discussion centres around the fact, should we have a dedicated news day? Deep Geek releases to us a edited version of this today with a techie news show, which he releases every week, or I think three weeks every month. He's been off on a sabbatical for a month or two, so during that time, this discussion is a bit mute. But he edits out the political stuff and puts in the technical news show and releases it to Hacker Public Radio. And as such, we have then only 4 days in the week of shows left. It also happened that the Dev Random guys uploaded a show, and because it just entered the queue as normal, it arrived quite late, and a lot of the news stories that they were covering were out of date. So I put forward the idea that we would, on Fridays, have that as a news show. So operating it on a first-in, first-out basis, so that people who submitted a new show would be able to get it out on the Thursday. And that would be something like the Sunday Morning Linux Review would go in there, Deep Geeks show would go in there, and Dev Random would also go in there. There was much discussion about that, and a lot of people, you really would like to read the email list about what's going on before we take any decisions, and I'd like more people to get involved in the discussion. So I will be posting a link to the conversation so far about this. Then we had the Linux Fest Northwest. There was David sent in a report on what it was like at the booth, which was a fantastic read, and I think everybody was very impressed with his feedback. He also offered to pay for a big human sized banner, which would stand on a next to the table, you know, freestanding on a wire frame, and had put together a design for that. A design which I think he had worked on, and then Plateau went to work on it, and then RF Queeren got hold of the fact that we were designing it, and designed a very nice banner with one of the new HPR logos, the Atomic logo. And then there was quite a bit of discussion about, you know, where things should be, and there was also a bit of a discussion about what the tagline should be. Should it be Hackers for Hackers, or Internet Radio from the community, by the community, for the community, that sort of thing. Because I found myself that while I was manning tables, that people didn't know what Hacker Public Radio was, and I think a lot of people were a bit nervous of the whole hacker word. And while I don't want in any way to take away from the fact that Hacker Public Radio is about hacking, and we are all hackers as such, for people who are not familiar with the correct use of the word, the focus for the tagline is important to give them a sense that hacker is not in the illegal sense here, that it's more about taking something, extending it beyond its initial design intentions. So somebody, I think it was Richard, came up with the tagline community-driven internet radio, which also actually I think is a good description, but it also describes what a podcast is. And I know that some people were confused about thinking that we were a shortwave or a FM, low power FM radio station. So that's in the making, and I must say I like the design and I like the idea, and I'm scouring to see if we can have one printed out over here for the European booth kit. On the development side, we have the GitHub site is up and running. I've done some work on the queuing system, which is going quite well. But it struck me on the train that what we should do really is simplify the whole thing and just have as many ways to upload a file as possible, where the metadata is stored in an RSS file. And that RSS file is also uploaded as part of the audio that you're uploading. So regardless of whether you're uploading a FLAC, a WAV, MP3, everything encoded file, that the RSS format of the file that you upload would be the show notes associated with that. Now, this is important because I had a look at the amount of background work that goes on here at HPR Towers, and it's mostly me. The biggest pain for me is not the posting of the show. I can do that in my sleep, but I actually have written a little scriptette to do that, and the transcoding isn't really a problem. CodeCruncher has written a transcoding thing, which we've also I just put another edit in to do some audio normalization, so that I had certain people complaining that the intro and outro was blasting their ears off. So hopefully that'll go some way to fixing that, although we can never really go a full way to fixing that. But anyway, it does that. But meanwhile, back to the point, most of the time that is taken up with posting shows is where I need to gather show notes together, links, images. Somebody uploaded something in text, I need to convert it to HTML. I need to have their bullet points correct. I need to link back to the websites, or for the syndicated shows, just essentially gathering all the information. For Talk Geek to Me, I need to take the website and strip out the HTML, make a series of links at the bottom. For Linux in the Shell, it's kind of complicated. I need to give Dan the IDs that are going to be used. Then he needs to post the show. Then I need to go over to him, take an extract of his website, put it on ours, and link. Then do the linking back. So on a week like where we have, it's the second Tuesday, it's the first day of the month, where there's a syndicated Thursday and where there's a Deep Geek episode on, I end up having been responsible for four of the, being the person responsible for four of the episodes, putting them together. Show notes, sorry, for the episodes, putting them together. And then, you know, quite often somebody will send in a contribution, or if it's a dial-in contribution, for instance, then there's no show notes at all, and the only thing that I can do there is just listen to the show and extract the show notes. And that's fine, it's not a problem. But a lot of people do have show notes, and those people that do have show notes, if I can get them into a standard RSS XML file easily, then on the back end I can write a script that will take that XML file and it'll parse it and put it into the correct place and do all the nicey things with it. So the call went out to the development mailing list to basically have as many ways of writing that as possible. So if you're on a command line and you want to upload your show via the command line, that you would run, I don't know, make show, and it would ask you questions and you fill in the text and it creates the HTML for you. Or if you're on a, you know, JavaScript cool website with flashbang, fade in, fade out, or whether it's, you know, part of a, just a simple GUI program for Windows or whatever. As many ways to upload a show, to fill out these notes as possible would be ideal. Because even for a regular podcaster who's doing their own show, then it fills out all the fields for them. That would be absolutely super fantastic. And nobody replied to me, or so I thought, until today. I was going through my mail. We had quite a lot of mail this month. And I saw that David Morris sent in a, not only sent in a show, which I haven't posted because I didn't know about it, but also sent in a Perl application that will do this for us. So Dave, first of all, thank you very much for doing that. Second of all, apologies again for completely missing your submission. And again, apologies for missing your program and getting back to you about it. So that's it. I thought it was going to be a short episode, turned out to be quite a long one. And I hope that I have pressed the record button, or I will be beating my head against the wall. Anyway, with that, I want to thank everybody again who took the time to send in greetings for episode 1000. It brought a tear to my eye, I must say, and I'm looking forward to episode 1024. And what I've decided to do in my own infinite wisdom is, over the coming weeks or so, I may be playing some classic episodes from Radio Freak America, Infonomicon, Bin Rev Radio, Twat Tech, some of the original HPR episodes, some stuff like that might come into the queue between now and 1024. Okay, with that, I'll close up and just invite you all again to remember that HPR is about the community. Community-driven internet radio, as we say. And I'd like all hackers out there to pick up the mic. Those of you who sent in a greeting and haven't sent in a show, thank you very much for doing that. But also realize how easy it was to do. You know, we have the phone line there. You can pick up the phone, dial one of the phone lines, say your show. It doesn't have to be a 3-hour extravaganza like this. It can be just a simple, this is what I found. I found this cool website. It does this, and it solved my problem. It might be of use to somebody else. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.